Jim Cunningham here for Pittsburgh Symphony Radio. Violinist Augustin Haderlich makes his Pittsburgh debut at Heinz Hall with Johannes Brahms' Violin Concerto. Manfred Honeck conducts the Pittsburgh Symphony Orchestra. Augustin Haderlich was born in Cecina, Italy in 1984. His German parents supported his work at the Mascagni Institute in Livorno, Italy, and he studied at Juilliard with Joel Smirnoff of the Juilliard Quartet. Augustin Haderlich recently recorded the Mendelssohn Concerto, but the Brahms is near the top of his list of favorites. Haderlich doesn't share the view of Pablo de Sarasate, who thought that the oboe got the best tune in the slow movement.
Well, when it was first written, there's this funny story that Pablo de Sarasate looked at it and he said, you know, it's a concerto for the violin against the orchestra, and he was just outraged by the fact that in the second movement, the theme is played by the oboe and the violin never gets to play it. It was a completely new way to write a concerto where the violin is in the foreground, is the center of attention, most of the time does not have the themes. It works incredibly well. You don't walk away thinking the violin should have had the theme more often. That's never something people think. So it just shows Brahms' mastery. And this concerto is one of the pieces that where you enjoy the most when you play it with a really great orchestra, because so many times the most important material is you hear around you, and then it's very inspiring. This really doesn't work when the orchestra isn't playing well, so yeah, which makes this week even more special.
Brahms was really of two moods in the first movement, wasn't he? It's stormy and then beautiful and lyrical. You got both sides of the personality.
Yeah, there's a lot of contrast there. I think it's very influenced by the Beethoven concerto in many ways, also in terms of the violin writing. So some of the more sweet, pristine passages are very high up on the violin, which is something Brahms wouldn't normally do in his, for example, his violin sonatas or in other pieces. But I think he was looking at the Beethoven concerto for inspiration, which uses that high register very often. I think also Joseph Joachim, who he wrote the piece for, he was the violinist who really made the Beethoven concerto more popular at the time when nobody thought of it as a particularly great piece, nobody wanted to hear it. He kept insisting on programming it, on playing it, and he did that for decades until finally people started to realize what a great piece it was. And so I'm sure it's no coincidence that Brahms would have looked to the Beethoven for inspiration for this, yeah.
Yeah. And in the finale, we get the Gypsy Brahms, yes?
Brahms was fascinated with Hungarian and Gypsy music, and so this, yes, it's a very fun last movement, very, very exciting. Yeah.
Here is Augustin Haderlich to play the Brahms Violin Concerto. Manfred Honeck conducts the Pittsburgh Symphony Orchestra.
Thank you.
Augustin Hadelich played the Brahms Violin Concerto in D, Opus 77. Manfred Honeck conducted the Pittsburgh Symphony Orchestra. Johannes Brahms' Violin Concerto was first heard on New Year's Day in 1879 in Leipzig. Josef Joachim was the soloist with the composer conducting. Augustin Hadelich is a favorite guest at Chautauqua Symphony Orchestra concerts. He made his American debut at Chautauqua Institution, and he's returned to Chautauqua at least 8 times. Augustin Hadelich started to play the violin at age 5.
I started playing when I was 5 years old. I have 2 brothers who are both older than me, and they were already playing cello and piano. So the idea of my parents was that I would play the violin and that we would play trio together. Which we never really did. You know, it's difficult with 3 brothers playing together. I think it just was for the best, maybe. But that's how I got started with the violin. And I quickly fell in love with its sound, which is very much like the human voice. It's very singing, very beautiful.
Augustin Hadelich. He's going to play some more for the music lovers at Heinz Hall.
Paganini, Caprice number 5.
Niccolo Paganini's Caprice for Solo Violin No. 5, played by Augustin Hadelich after he played the Brahms Violin Concerto with the Pittsburgh Symphony and Manfred Honeck. Johannes Brahms wrote his concerto in the beautiful Austrian village of Pirchach. It was written for his friend Josef Joachim, There, Brahms might have heard the Austrian folk song, O du lieber Augustin. But if he did, he chose instead a Bohemian folk song for the second movement with its oboe solo. We heard it played at Heinz Hall by the principal oboe of the Pittsburgh Symphony, Cynthia Coleto de Almeida. Appearing at Heinz Hall for the first time, some music lovers couldn't remember having heard an Augustin play the violin before. Pittsburghers at Heinz Hall loved Augustin, and the Austrians loved the name Augustin. We know it from the song.
It's not a very flattering song, unfortunately, and it's a very old song. It's from the time of the plague, and he's basically Augustine is really, really drunk, and he falls into the pit where all the dead bodies are of the people who died of the plague because of all the alcohol in his system. He doesn't catch the bacteria.
I had no idea.
Yes. So, but the song is a song that I've heard maybe too much when you're German and you're called Augustine, and this may actually be the reason why you don't really see German people called Augustine.
We have evidence of O du lieber Augustine dating back to at least 1800. Some people believe it's from the 17th century. It's a grim theme. The thought of being in the grave with plague victims is a downer, but Austrians see Augustine as a symbol of hope. He makes it out. Several composers have based variations on the tune, including Ranitzky, Johann Nepomuk Hummel, and even Arnold Schoenberg in the second movement of his second quartet. The lyrics tell us that Augustine is down on his luck. O du lieber Augustine, alles ist hin, all is lost, my money's gone, my girlfriend's gone, my coat is gone, my staff is gone, and I'm lying in the dirt. Well, all is not lost. I remember receiving a card from a Pittsburgh Symphony Radio listener who lived in Los Angeles, California. His name, Roland Nolan Beamer. Roland sent me his business card. It read, no job, no home, no car, no girl. We try to keep our mind in the heavens at Pittsburgh Symphony Radio. In September of 2015, Pope Francis was visiting Washington, New York, and Philadelphia, and I asked Manfred Honeck, who is a devout Catholic, whether he was planning to travel across the state to see the Pope.
I actually would like to go there, but it's always a joy to get the messages on TV. I probably will also thinking and praying for him that everything is going well. And when I'm here in Pittsburgh, we do our concerts here, so I'm not able, even if I would have an invitation, I'm not able to go there.
Manfred Honeck attends Mass every day at St. Mary of Mercy Parish on Stanwyck Street in downtown Pittsburgh, where WQED-FM volunteer and organist Tony Valletta leads the music ministry, playing the organ. The Pittsburgh Symphony was the first American orchestra to play for the Pope at the Vatican in Rome. They played for Pope John Paul II in 2004. Maestro Manfred Honeck is the first music director of an American orchestra to play for the Pope at the Christmas Eve Mass, seen around the world for an audience of 700 million. Maestro Honeck led the St. Cecilia Orchestra of Rome and Israeli soprano Chen Reis in Et Incarnatus Est from Mozart's Mass in C minor. It was December 24th, Christmas Eve, 2014.
Thank you.
Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart, Et Incarnatus Est, from the Mozart Requiem in C minor, at the Vatican in Rome, with the music director of the Pittsburgh Symphony Orchestra, Manfred Honeck, conducting the orchestra of the National Academy, St. Cecilia, and Israel-born soprano Chen Rees. It was Et Incarnatus Est from Mozart's Mass in C minor. The Mozart was played between Gregorian chants that have traditionally been sung at the Vatican on Christmas Eve. The text of Et Incarnatus Est is drawn from the Credo, or Statement of Faith, in the Catholic Mass. Manfred Honeck was able to meet and speak with Pope Francis following the Mass. He said he talked about Mozart and the Pope's inspiration for incorporating an orchestral component into the service. Thanks for joining me. I'm Jim Cunningham. I hope you'll be back next week for a concert by the Pittsburgh Symphony. Remember, there are just two orchestras in the world with our own internet audio service 24 hours a day. You'll find the Pittsburgh Symphony on the Pittsburgh Concert Channel. Just go to WQED.org, listen. You can listen online or in iTunes with your computer or smartphone. The entire season can be found as streaming audio on demand at WQED.org. Don't forget to write for your free program guide. It will arrive with the Pittsburgh Symphony Radio paper binoculars. The optics may not rival that of the Zeiss company, but it will do in a pinch when you feel a desire to examine the shoes of the principal cello or see the contrabassoon a little more closely. Binoculars are free while they last. Write to Pittsburgh Symphony Radio, 4802 Fifth Avenue, Pittsburgh, PA, 15213. Include your address and let me know what station you're listening to. Our address, 4802 Fifth Avenue, Pittsburgh, PA, 15213. You can visit the website at psoradio.org and send email directly, pso@wqed.org. Brian Savar is the digital production engineer for Pittsburgh Symphony Radio, Heinz Hall recording engineer Harold Chambers. Our program is made possible by Pat and Michelle Atkins, who underwrite in honor of Carlo University, Pittsburgh, with additional support by the Jack Buncher Foundation and the musicians of the Pittsburgh Symphony Orchestra.
PRI, Public Radio International.